Okay, welcome to Course in Miracles. Let's rock this thing again. So tonight is kind of a treat because we're going to do one of the workbook lessons, I think. It looks like a small group, so I don't see any reason we're not going to get to lesson 132. We don't get to spend much time in the workbook right now because we're working the text and it's so rich. But, this is be kind of fun. I told you this before, but I think the workbook is actually a higher consciousness than the text. The text is groundwork, and it's a belief inducing, it's confidence building, it's get to know your teacher, it's all of that. But the workbook is you to task, and you're more likely to have your awakenings in the workbook because it's so personal, and it's you doing it with your thoughts. You know, it's amazing. You know, of course, the entire book is not a page or a word wasted, but wow. So we'll see some of that tonight. It's been, people have brought this lesson to me more than once, the one we're going to look at tonight, as a hard lesson. So it's a good thing we can do it together. It does have some nice challenging things, but it's in line with what we've been talking about in this group now for a couple of weeks. So I don't think you're going to find it too hard. Okay, so overall, we're in the responsibility for sight section, where the challenge remains the same, and that is, it is for you to release the part of your ego belief that says you're a victim. To release that part of you that actually feels burdened by the world or anything happening in the world, a victim to anything outside of you. And this one's a little harder, but you are not a victim to your own thoughts either. What am I talking about? Your own thoughts. Guilt. Worry. Your own thoughts of worthiness or worthless. Ness. Some people, and I say plenty of people, it's actually one of the topics in A Course in Miracles with about 20 references maybe, about the ego's willingness to call you unworthy of your own enlightenment, you unworthy of love, you unworthy of happiness, and that's why you're not happy. These are your own fates. This is your own nightmare that you're dreaming. So what we're offering now, the Course in Miracles and where we're studying, is to go right to that turning point, the fork in the road, the edge where either you stay on the plateau or you jump. What we're offering in this book, and certainly what we're going to study tonight, is your willingness not to follow what you've been trusting for years, for your whole life. You see, there's a momentum that comes with having a body. And that momentum gets kind of doubled when you fall in love, or you have children, or you've been successful in the world, and you've accumulated money and property, and someplace comfortable to be. This is why, in my opinion, monks go somewhere where they can strip off all of that outward glitter and have a single piece of clothing and a begging bowl, and not be so worldly successful and comfortable, so they can go more easily into the direction of releasing the world. There are 100 different ways to approach monasticism. I'm just saying this is one take. It is called asceticism, and you let go of all those worldly desires physically as you work on letting them go mentally. So this also is an opportunity for you to let go of hanging on to what's comfortable in your world You do not have to discard your world. You can, you do not have to. Your world has no power over you, only your thoughts. Only your thoughts are what you experience. And so, this is a, tonight you're going to be invited once again to offer from your own heart and your mind, to offer up something that you've been holding dear, that you've been trusting, to offer it up, to let it go. You can pick it back up. Hey, listen, if what we're doing tonight does not work for you, there is a guarantee. The guarantee is this. If what we're doing tonight does not work, your misery will be instantly refunded in full. So don't worry about it. Just try this. Just really open your mind and allow yourself the possibility that this strange 1,300-page book that has somehow broken the laws of the world to come into existence and into your hand, that this book somehow could actually be your path, your chosen and your given path to your personal release, to your awakening, to your right mind. If that's so, we can take some of these sentences literally. Literally. And believe me, if it doesn't work, you will not lose the comfort you have from your ego. If it works, you will find the comfort you have always sought from your spirit. This is the truth in you. So, let's just take a few moments to kind of receive this invitation. I'll put a few more words on it through the next 5 minutes, but essentially it's this. Are you willing to open your third eye and close your two eyeballs? Close your eyes on the world outside and open your eyes on the spirit inside that holds all of this anyway. To give up everything that you think you know to be true or to be false, everything. Are you willing to see another way where the cost to see this other way is your allegiance to everything you now see and know? Are you willing to get off the bus not knowing where it is stopping? This book says you may do this. You are supported in your desire for a miracle that is the awakening from a bad dream that you've put yourself into a little box called the body, and you've gotten everything that you've ever wanted here in a body. You've gotten separate bodies. You even managed to get yourself to believe that you have an end. And this is the world. Are you really willing to let all of that go, even the stuff you think is good? Hand it over to the Holy Spirit and say, what do you got in return? Can you actually give me a sense of freedom, a sense of peace? And here's a key word for you. Can you grant me a sense of understanding that gives me an eternal trust that allows me now to go beyond my body and receive my true identity. You are now invited. And don't do this with words, please. Just stay still. But you're now invited to make a choice. Try not to talk to yourself now. Just rest in comfort. You're now invited to make a very simple choice. Let your heart answer. You will feel the answer. It'll tell you. You are invited to make a choice to go away from everything you now know and go swiftly and safely into the hands of God, whatever that is. Would you go? You would be returning to an awareness of what's really going on. Like when you awaken from a dream and you realize you were dreaming. Is your dream so valuable you wish not to awaken? This is a question. You are free to go back to sleep and redream it any time you want. My question is, are you interested in looking at the dream awake? And until you are willing to have your dream replaced with the gift of awakening, which is given you, then your dream will continue just as it always has. You will not be forced ever to awaken. You can keep this world and this life and many like it for as long as you wish to dream. My question is, are you willing to try looking at the dream awake? Bing! Okay, before we jump in to the reading, would anybody like to share any thoughts they had?
I will.
Luann.
The first thing that came to me and the last thing that I ended up with. Okay. Because I'm really wanting, but I'm only willing once in a while, and I need to. I love what you said at the beginning about not thinking you're worthy. I've been moving, and I have had two of my friends come almost twice a week, one from San Ramon and one from Monterey. And one of the neighbors down the street, who knows everybody on the street, I think, has come down and worked with me every single day, sometimes until after dinner. And it's almost like I can't believe it. It's like I can't believe they could be that loving and willing to go out of their way. And that's the part that bothers me, because I know they want me to know it. I know they want me to. So like I said, I'm wanting it. I'm wanting to think I'm worthy for receiving their love. But I sometimes don't. I remember what I was thinking of, how come this is happening?
Yeah.
How come they're wanting to come down and spend hours every single two or three times a week?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever help somebody else years ago when you were busy and working in your life and somebody else had a move or had a problem or needed to, And you showed up and you said, "Well, what can I do? I've got a couple hours." You pitched in somewhere along in the road in your life.
I think
not expecting a return. You're just wishing them well.
I don't know if this is what you're asking, but what I have done a lot, not just once or twice, but a lot of times is think they need help and then offer it.
Tell you what, I want you to experience this. So everybody look at Sundari. You can see her on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
Sundari, I know Sundari privately as well, and she's going through a difficult time in her life. It's a very ugly situation. She'll be fine. It's a matter of paperwork. She shared it with the group several times. It's a difficult, ugly thing that happens in the world when you own a home and you have neighbors, and it's just ugly. And she's looking for the light in it. And the other person is using four-letter words mixed with her name. And it just seems to be getting a little worse. But she's going to work through it like she has before and other difficult things in her life. And would you look at Sundari and ask yourself if honestly, would you like Sundari to have a good night's sleep tonight? Would you like her to have some kind of breakthrough that just allows her shoulders to relax for a day? This may go on for months. Would you like that for her?
Of course.
Really? No kidding, right? I mean, for her to be able to get a break and get a sense this is going to be okay. In fact, this is even useful somehow. That even the ugliness that's happening is going to feed her in her own awakening and allow her to have more important experiences than if she never had this problem. Wow! She'll look back on it later and say, "I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but guess what I learned? Valuable growth and personal strength and a sense of peace starts today for her." Would you like that for Sundari?
Yes.
I really do. Sundari, may you receive this. May this absolutely fill your thoughts and empower you in the way you manage this situation. Feels good to me. You know why? She kind of needs it. And I kind of want it. I kind of want to give her. I want to give her that. All I have to do is look at her and feel these thoughts. I really want to do that. And Luann, the same thing for the people who are helping you, who you have made a huge transition moving from your house into this place closer to your daughter. But a move is enormous for anybody at any age. A complete geographic move is enormous, and they all know it. And you know what they want for you? They want you to be happy and comfortable in your new home. So do I. I hope you're happy and comfortable in your new home, Luann.
Not yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, I hope those people keep showing up until you're so happy you kick them out.
I doubt that that's going to happen. Yeah.
So what you're feeling is in your willingness to give something to somebody, you are receiving it first. You can feel that.
Yeah.
It's a very beautiful thing. This is the law of love. That as you give, you receive. Now, I hope Sundari gets this, but I know I feel good just even asking for her to get it. The more sincere I am in wishing she really does get a great night's sleep tonight and some awareness about the big picture of what's going on, the more I wish that, boy, the more I get it. I just love how it feels. I'm starting to feel really good for her. I'm starting to believe Sundari's on a good path that's going to pay off in ways she can't even see, but I can feel it somehow. It's all going to work out preciously. None of this is wasted, Sundari. Yeah. As you give, you receive. And then now she's receiving it, and she's giving it back. Now she's giving, and I'm receiving. You see the circle? It's a beautiful circle. This is the law of love in A Course in Miracles. It's also the law of mind. What you think first before it goes anywhere possible. It's a law of spirit because it's the essence of spirit. You are contributing with your thoughts to your reality, and the reality of anything is spirit. Okay, so anybody else want to comment? Sundari?
First, thank you very much for all those kind words. And I really like didn't have time to come tonight, wanting to prepare, and yet I needed to come tonight just at the beginning for the meditation. Because, and I was going to say to people, there's nothing more valuable, I think, than being joined. And I was going to ask people who, you know, I came thinking I would like to ask people who felt moved to join with me between like 1:30 and 3 this time tomorrow. And because the truth is in our joinedness. And don't feel obliged, but I feel like the more I'm joined, the more in reality I can center myself, and that there's somehow nothing more precious than the joinedness of the Son of God that we are together that lifts me up in ways that I can't lift myself up. And there was a beautiful meditation earlier today. Somebody asked, you know, how far out can you take your energy? And I took it to this curved hyperspace I see at the edge of the universe. And in your meditation, it kind of broke through to, I don't know, some confusing, this big undefined place. And I truly was willing to give up everything, like the aspects of my children and anything. And specifically, it was any ideas opposed to I'm safe, I'm protected, I'm loved, and there's no I even. And
there's no mistake.
No.
There's no mistakes. You bring your Holy Spirit with you, everything is used.
So I'm going to leave early.
Okay.
But I feel extraordinarily blessed.
Oh, just get a blessing and run, huh? Is that how it is?
Before you get your blessing and run, I want to know, I don't understand what you're asking for tomorrow between 1 and 3 or 1:30 and 3?
1:30 and 3. Just the idea of a joined heart.
Uh-huh.
Just the concept of jointedness, just if it floats through and is easy for you, and just whatever that means. It's really funny because just occasionally I do this with David Hoffmeister, and I sent him a text saying, hey, if you just send a thought my way of jointedness tomorrow, and you know, I don't need anything back. Nothing has to happen. It's just, and it doesn't matter if it happens or not, but there's some, it feels to me there's some greater truth in that than anything else.
And by the way, you don't have to wait till tomorrow at 1:30. Right. You can do it right now and send it to 1:30, because there's not actually time. That would be back in the ego. Maybe you miss it. Oh God, it's 4:30. I let her down. Nah, come on. Right now. Target it to 1:30 tomorrow and fill Sundari's heart with a sense of belonging, and we're all there with her. Boom, it's sent. It's in the mail, in the spiritual mail, and you shall receive as you need. You know, I had an early Course in Miracles teacher, and he used to say, he'd get into situations like this, and he'd say, you know, Holy Spirit, please give me everything I want or something better. And so if he didn't get what he wanted, then he'd say, well, it must be the Holy Spirit giving me something better. I'll figure that out later. So Sundari, that's your prayer. Everything exactly what you want or something better. That's the whole menu.
Thank you.
Good, good. Good to see you. Thanks for coming along.
Bye.
Okay. All right. I was going to take you through a trip on Sundari's quest there, but we'll leave that for another day. Okay.
I have a question. I just have a comment. Thank you. Barbara, were you asking what jointedness means?
No, I was just asking for clarification if she meant something specific. And she clarified for me that there wasn't any necessarily specific thing that I needed to do. But I will certainly be sending good stuff your way, Sundari, no doubt about it.
Look out, here it comes. Good, good, good.
Andrew, I'd stick in for if you're going to comment more. I'm not quite ready for tomorrow, but.
Well, for you then, just read page 28, the italics on page 28, just before you go in.
Would be helpful. I'm here to.
Yeah. You're not there to receive anything. You're there to be truly helpful to all involved. Court system, your opponent, yourself, your family, the next people in line behind you, somebody else who has a similar situation happens to be in the court and you don't even know they're there. How should they handle it? You're there to be truly helpful, Sundari, to all parties involved. And this will be your healing. Be a chance.
Okay, so now I'm getting clear. You're going to be in court tomorrow between 1:30 and 3. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got it coming. You got it coming from me. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. All right. No, I understand.
Okay, let's get to work. Go to page 448, chapter 21, 448. And let's pick up a warm-up. Ross, I got your mute. Would you read for us? On page 448, just grab right after the italics and read for us that sentence and all of paragraph 3.
I've remembered all my camping gear and all my climbing gear, but I forgot my book.
All right. Very good. No problem. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you, on 448, start with deceive yourself no longer.
Okay. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. It is impossible the Son of God be merely driven by events outside of him. It is impossible that happenings that come to him were not his choice. His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident.
Wow. Jacqueline, could you read that particular sentence over again?
His power of decision, which Son of God, us, right?
Uh-huh.
His power of decision is the determiner of every situation in which he seems to find himself by chance or accident.
And I want you to remember that the word power is in that sentence. Course in Miracles wastes no words. It used the word power of decision. Okay, please continue.
No accident nor chance is possible within the universe as God created it, outside of which is nothing. Suffer, and you decided sin was your goal. Be happy, and you gave the power of decision to him who must decide for God for you. This is the little gift you offer to the Holy Spirit, and even this he gives to you to give yourself. For by this gift is given you the power to release your Savior, that he may give salvation unto you.
The power to release your Savior, and this is your, often your Savior in this world, is your ass-holy brother with whom you have a problem. The person who's difficult in your life and you think, they're just making my life difficult. This person is your Savior or your jailer. This person represents to you a power of evil, real, and you are victim to it. Or this person now, in the hands of the advice of the Holy Spirit, this person offers you your freedom and release. There's no neutral. You can't say, I'm just going to ignore them. They've been a problem in my life, and I'm just going to ignore them. There's no ignoring. The Course tells us very specifically there are no neutral thoughts. And so you're already carrying either, I don't know, pick a color, red or green, and assigned to that person. You're picking negative or positive, assigned to everything. There is no neutral. And so that's what this paragraph is pointing out. You've already decided, because you can tell by how you feel about them. What we're calling you to do is take a moment to give that person in that situation to your Holy Spirit and say, wow, Holy Spirit, would you show me how to think of this in light instead of only shadows? This person, what's going to happen, what they're doing, show me, allow me to actually contribute and bring the light through me. Let me be part of it. Let me be part of the answer that you're going to tell me. Because I guarantee you, this is the only way you'll ever get a miracle. Miracles don't happen to you. They are given to you, but they happen through you. And only when you ask. Only when you ask. You have a power, like a superpower. You have a power to look for darkness or receive the light. You will get what you do. You will get what you choose. That's why it's a power. It's fully in your hands. So that's what we're studying here, kind of a higher level. And it's for you now to get very, very present with each of your thoughts and allow yourself to choose before you say something, before you make a decision, before you try to make an argument. It's up to you now to choose a sense of lightness of being, a sense of helpfulness, a sense of joining, a sense of greater good, even if what you're about to do is going to limit somebody else. If you're a parent, or if you're in a lawsuit and you've got all the cards on your side of the table, you're going to change somebody else's life. Don't do this with a sense of attack or a sense of getting even or a sense of what they deserve. Do it a sense of helpfulness. This is very important because you're going to live that experience. It will become your life. What you decide will become your life. There's no other way you have ever had a life than what you decided. The power of decision is your own. This is what you do as you awaken and realize you're not a victim, and you get to choose how you feel, and you get to choose how you think, and you get to choose whether you're losing or you're winning. And by the way, there is no neutral. There is no neutral. You've made a world where loss was invented. Loss was invented here. In heaven, from source where you came, there was only gain and growth and sharing. And you've taken a part of your mind and invested in a little world where loss was invented. And it's really fun. The loss thing, it's a gas. It's so fun that you decided to, how far can I go? In fact, the truth is that not in the identity you now know, but in the dreamer of this dream, you decided the only way you could actually experience loss, and therefore the opposite of loss, was if you really, really, really knew the ultimate loss, which is death. Course in Miracles says that, you know, all your little losses, money, did you lose some money on some, pay extra for something, or did you get a cut on your skin or a dent in your car? Did you get some, all of these losses are the same as death. Why? To Course in Miracles, they're the same, see? Because Course doesn't have levels. So in A Course in Miracles, as you awaken to this message, you recognize the oneness of everything, including the dream. And so for loss to exist at all, any loss whatsoever is equivalent to death. It's equivalent. It's not death is worse. Like there's some losses that are bad, like a dent in the car you can't get out, and then death of your pet. No, death of the pet's worse, Andrew. Don't tell me that's not worse. All right, you're not ready. But I'm telling you, remember I told you so many times that this particular page has many levels of teaching on it. And the absolute nature of your reality is that you actually are a manifestation of your source, which is everything. You are the love that you seek. You are actually that. You are actually that. And the truth of that does not include loss. You really, really are, in your true essence, an extension of God as a creator, not a loser. You see, before I go too far in this direction, I'll just announce one more sentence. The actual natural state of your mind in heaven is complete abstraction, completely empowered and completely free, because you are a creator.
Hey buddy.
And you know no limits, but you've decided here to play in a little jail cell. This comes with your awakening and you already know it. That's why you're studying this book. So it's a power, and the sooner you learn to use it with each thought, the better you off you will be, and the more you'll have to give the ones that you love, the more love you will receive in kind. Okay. Well, Sundari, before you go, I got your mute. Why don't you read for us paragraph 4?
Begrudge not, then, this little offering. Withhold it. And you keep the world as now you see it. Give it away, and everything you see goes with it. Never was so much given for so little. In the holy instant is this exchange effected and maintained. Here is the world you do not want brought to you, the one you do. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Here is the world you do not want brought to the one you do want.
And here, the one you do is given you because you want it. Yet for this, the power of your wanting must first be recognized. You must accept its strength and not its weakness. You must perceive that what is strong enough to make a world can let it go and can accept correction if it is willing to see that it was wrong.
Did you hear her right? Did she just say that you had the strength to make a world? Is that what Jesus is addressing in this paragraph? Well, it must not be the person who got up this morning and searched for their glasses and pushed one leg through a pair of pants and then the other. That's not who made the world. Must not be the one who had to go brush their teeth. World makers don't have teeth. This is addressing a part of you that you have chosen to forget. But the truth of the words pierce right into your being. When you're ready to hear them, they are right here. And as she was speaking, if part of you kind of felt like a little tear welling up, it was getting through. The course goes up and down in spiritual teaching levels all through it. And this is one of the places where it's appealing to your higher self to say, hey, come home. Come back to love and happiness. It's what you really want. You are addicted to sadness and feeling sorry for yourself. You're addicted to it. You find a strange comfort in it. And so it continues. It's a strange thing, isn't it? It really is. There's a whole section in this called The Attraction to Guilt, and it makes this argument that you just do this because you're so addicted to it. So there's a couple of great things in here. There's another kind of a four-letter word, if you will, in the hands of the ego, and it's W-A-N-T, want. The ego will kick you in the kneecaps for wanting something that you don't deserve. They'll kick you. It's fighting words. So you're actually denying your own power. Remember I said power is going to be key tonight. You're denying your own power, and you're doing it out of a sick sense of humility. Sundari.
Well, I've been telling myself that tomorrow is going to be like a birthday party.
Yeah, great.
You know, it's like, oh, only one more day till the birthday party.
I love it. Good job. Okay. Wow. Okay, so first thing I want you to look at is this wanting thing. It is the poor man's re-entry into creation, into something you do understand. You understand want, you understand desire. What you don't understand, as this paragraph is saying, is the power of your wanting. In the hands of the ego, and Luann touched on this, because she's exercised this concept a few times. The idea of wishing versus willing. Luann, are you ready to teach us that? Can you teach us the difference between wishing and willing?
Wishing is denying your power because a wish just is a wish.
So because a wish may or may not come true.
Yeah. Whereas knowing is, well, believing. Well, believing is not strong enough. Knowing means that you can create something. I don't know if that's what you're wanting me to
say. The willing, when you wish something, you're actually recognizing, deciding that it may or may not come true. It's a wish. You know, I really wish for this. Mm-hmm. I really wish that I go out and wash my car.
Yeah, mine.
You may not do that for weeks, right? Well, I know, because you've got to make dinner first, and then it's going to get dark, and I don't know. But I wish that the car was clean. Now, when you say, I'm going to clean my car, You may or may not do it tonight, but I'll tell you, that car is already clean. It's going to happen. It's not I wish anymore, right? It's a whole different part of your mind that's involved when you will. And it's on the path of creation, because you recognize when you will something, you know what I mean, right? When you decide you're going to do something, even though you haven't done it, but it's going to happen, and that's what it is. Even though you haven't done it. It's way different than wishing. This is the essence of creation, because you've actually created the reality in your head. Now you're just unfolding it by going and, you know, actually skipping dinner. And you know what? I'm gonna get a sandwich from yesterday and eat that. I'm washing the car right now. That's the kind of thing that happens when you will. You just do it. And even if you say, well, say you're going to move your residence. I'm going to move. I'm no longer going to live here. Let's say, I don't know when. I got to find a new place first, but I will. I need some place to park, you know, my RV or whatever, let's say, and I love the RV, I'm moving. Even though you haven't moved yet. It's way different. Ross.
Kind of what it was like about my home. My daughter sat down with me and said, Mom, I don't think you can take care of this big house anymore. It's time for you to move to something that you can handle. And she was so helpful. And I said, okay, I will do that. And it was a will. Not that I wish I was going to do it because I am tired of kids.
You're wearing a red jacket?
Well, it's really my nightgown. I haven't gotten dressed all day.
You're wearing a red nightgown?
Yeah.
I think you also...
A robe, not a nightgown, a robe.
A robe? I think you also have a blue or a white one. Is that true? Any other color, Luann?
Okay, pink.
Oh, you got a pink one.
Yeah.
You did not wish to put on the red one.
No, I said I'm going to.
You willed it and it happened. There was actually no chance it could have gone the other way. With wishing, you would put them both on the ground and you'd still be thinking about it.
And you know, my ego was fighting that. It said, just don't do anything. Just wear what you're wearing.
There you go. See? That's the world, and that will stir until you get tired of it, and then will takes over, mm-hmm. and then you actually move. I just want to talk to you about the power of decision, and you executed it right there. Big or small, you're living your life this way. Ross, what do you got?
Oh, I wanted to add that there's a place in the course where it says when basically it's about willing, that you won't even see the obstacles. And you'll see everything as an opportunity to proceed toward your goal. So that's along the lines of willing and creating.
Yes, yes. I know where that is. It's a fantastic section.
Yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
That happened for me when my therapist said, why don't you become a psychologist? There was no doubt in my mind I was going to do it.
Right. There wasn't a wish. It wasn't a wish, was it? Something moved in you and you said, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the difference between will and wish. And it's the power that you have to find and take responsibility for. You see, when you're wishing, it's your ego. When you don't know, then it's time for you to not wish for insight. Wish the Holy Spirit will show up. It's time for you to will that you ask the Holy Spirit and will yourself to stillness enough. Good night, Sundari. Enough for you to hear the Holy Spirit, you have to will yourself to go still.
You know, I had an argument with my neighbor for over a year where he was furious at me for letting light come out of my window and bother him while he was sleeping.
Yeah.
So he left and he was gone about a month and I was in a chair one night and I said, I'm tired of this. I'm really tired of it. I'm just going to put up blackout blinds to keep my light from going into his bathroom window. Mm-hmm. So I did it. Cost me $1,000, but I said, I'm going to do it. I did it. He came home and his whole attitude had changed before he even realized I put the blackout blinds. I just said, I want peace now. I'm going to create peace as best as I can. Yeah.
Good. Never underestimate what you can do with your attitude. So everybody turn to page 90. In the text, it's way up front. Get a quarter inch of the book or so is there when you get there.
It's just before chapter 6.
You got it. It's the last page of chapter 5. This is this uses that four-letter word, want, pretty deftly. It kind of plays with it. And you can, it's a way to follow on what I'm trying to show you that the course is talking about your power. The power of decision and a way to use it. So, Barbara, when you get there, I got your mute. Would you read for us? Let's just do the italics in the interest of time.
Okay, I am there. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me.
See that four-letter word in there? You claim your will. Claim your will. You say, I want to decide otherwise. And you're kind of, in case part of you is feeling too victim-y or too weak, the Course is meeting you at kind of a easy level and having you evoke in yourself the power of decision to decide. It's very generous. It's really, if you're really down, you're really beat up, you're really angry, you really can't see straight, this is a great thing to read because it gently grabs your shoulders and pushes you back toward the light. It says, I, very personal, the I starts every single sentence in this, by the way, right? Very personal. I want to decide otherwise. And the generosity of your teacher says, I know that you haven't decided for peace. That's why you're upset. But do you want to be at peace? Yes. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. In other words, peace is more important to me than whatever revenge or anger or fear or I'm choosing with my ego. I really do want. I almost forgot I want peace. I was so angry. Right?
Yes.
So this are you, and do this out loud. This really works when you do it out loud. Now, I do not feel guilty. Wow, this is written in your book. This is a gift from a mind way beyond what you see in the mirror with yourself. The mind that is talking to you is way beyond your limited self. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. Well, using my power, I choose to let him. By allowing him to decide for God for me right now, given this situation that I have saddled myself with. It's a great way to just go silent and start receiving a better perspective on whatever you're doing. It's one of my favorite
lines. Yeah, that's the line, that last line. You know, it's if you can just default to that.
Yeah. Get your ego out of the way.
That's exactly the epitome of the story of what I do with my neighbor.
Nice. Good. Good. Okay. So now, please turn back to page 449 in the text where we recently were. And let's go ahead and pick up paragraph 5 at this point. I think this will be helpful. Is it too distracting? Yeah, this is fine. So, Luann, paragraph 5, please.
The world you see is but the idle witness that you were right. This witness is insane. You trained it in its testimony.
Whoa. You trained it. That means you trained the world. You trained it in its own testimony.
Yep.
This is really consistent. This is consistent stuff. Please continue.
You trained it in its testimony as it gave it back to you. You listened and convinced yourself that what it saw was true. You did this to yourself. See only this, and you will also see how circular the reasoning on which you're seeing rests. This is not given you. This was your gift to you and to your brother. Be willing then to take it, to have it taken from him and be replaced with truth. And as you look upon the change in him, it will be given you to see it in yourself.
There's that circle I've been talking about so much.
Yeah, how you treat your brother is how you will be treated.
Yep.
And you can decide to do that or decide to have a different circle.
And then that's exactly what you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now with that as a background, let's go into the workbook. And you're going to go to page 242 in the workbook. The bottom of the page, you got to crack your book now to the back half, so you're three quarters of the way through. And the bottom of the page says 242. The top of the page says 132, as in lesson 132. But don't confuse that with the page number, which is 242. Now let's see what Jesus has to say about this opportunity, this decision that we're being offered as we study A Course in Miracles to return to heaven and awareness of our own power. So, Don, I got your mute. When you get there, would you please start reading lesson 132? Give us the first paragraph in your brand new book.
I got the new book. I loosed the world from all I thought it was. What keeps the world in chains but your beliefs? And what can save the world except your capital S self? Belief is powerful indeed. The thoughts you hold are mighty, and illusions are as strong in their effects as is the truth.
What, Don? Did you read? You know, I think you read that wrong. You got to read that again. Are you telling me illusions are as strong in their effects as truth? You must have read that wrong. Please read it again.
I hate that. The thoughts you hold are mighty, and illusions are as strong in their effects as is the truth.
Doesn't that explain why this world seems so real? A Course in Miracles is informing you of what you probably already have been witnessing. You can make up an illusion, and it can overpower the truth if that's what you decide to follow. Wow. Now this power I'm talking to you about choosing light or darkness, it's really important because you actually have the power, because of what you are, you have the power to block the light. And if you're not feeling supremely happy, that's what you're doing. Please continue.
A madman thinks the world he sees is real and does not doubt it. Nor can he be swayed by questioning his thoughts' effects. It is but when their source is raised to question that the hope of freedom comes to him at last.
You see, we're not asked to take this on blind faith, this work of A Course in Miracles, that the world is not real, you're not a body, these crazy statements. You're not asked to just believe them and try to suck it up and deny everything else you're feeling and thinking and seeing. No. The reason why this book has 1,300 pages with 365 lessons to take you by the hand one day at a time for an entire year on the chance you might get it is that we're reversing your belief system and your addiction that you have taken is absolutely true. Your body, time, space. We're reversing that. Barbara.
So my addiction is to grievances. And, you know, it's like in this divorce situation, John, I don't even think about John anymore. John is just like over there. Now my grievances are focused on my lawyer. So what I notice is I just shift the focus of my grievance, right?
Yeah.
And when it'll shift again to somebody else.
Yep.
And it's meaningless. It's just my addiction to grievance. But I can't seem to get on top of it. You know, it's and I read this and I believe it. I believe it 100%. But my only choice is to say, just do the divorce, lawyer. Do, you know, if I engage in it, I'm like helpless.
Well, that's, you know, that's not actually true. It's one way to do it. You can just hand it over to the professional and say, I'll take whatever comes out.
Right.
You know, that works. And you won't even remember 10 years from now.
Right.
How much you could have, would have, should have got, or how much extra he got because you got out of the way. It won't even matter, you know. But now,
it doesn't matter.
It's your task. Your task is not to deny. Not to deny what you think is valuable. That would be lying to yourself, Barbara. If you give this over to the lawyer and you don't actually trust him, you think somehow your ex-husband's paying off the lawyer, your own lawyer, you know, something like that's going on, then you're lying to yourself and you're just going into a deeper rat hole that you'll tell stories about this for the rest of your life if you lie to yourself now. So the key is not to lie, but to get the Holy Spirit's help to back away from these sharp-edged children's toys like lawyers and decisions and amounts and property and all, and ask for help to see this from a whole perspective, from both sides, not your side and not your husband and not the lawyer's side only, but from all sides. And the Holy Spirit can do that. You can't. You are way too invested in Barbara's comfort and survival and fairness. But that's not what matters in the long run, and you know it. The truth matters.
It does.
And what is going to happen is going to be the truth of this situation. And so you want to start embracing that with the perspective of the whole, W-H-O-L-E-Y, Holy Spirit. Not from the Barbara's small, selfish, innocent, but selfish, unholy spirit. That's going to be chaotic and you'll never get away. You'll never get away from that. You will find problems and problems and problems and problems.
Right.
Okay. So
that helps.
Good. Good. Ross, what do you got?
Wouldn't you say also that you can do anything you want as long as you do it peacefully, which may not always be easy, but you know, if you're in a car wreck, you can peacefully ask the other driver for his information. You don't have to go into blame. You can just ask for the information. And, you know, even if it's your fault, even if you maniacally ran into someone, you can do it. Okay, I take care of this. I blew it, but I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm just going to be peaceful, whatever it is. But then again, if you can't, maybe you do need to back. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of, can you do it with peace?
You know, it's back to the power of mind, the power of love. If you do the car wreck situation with peace, you're going to get peace back. Even if the other person yells louder, trying to get you going, trying to get you to take responsibility or whatever. If you choose peace, you will have a peaceful situation. As you give, you receive. You know, there was a situation where I went through this with in a dog park, and I had two black labs at the time. They're both 70 pounds or whatever, pretty good sized dogs, but not huge. Two female black labs, and I was in the dog park is divided into two sides. So you got the big dog side, and there's a big sign there on the gate that says dogs under 25 pounds go to the small dog side. So I got my black labs running around inside there. And somebody else brought in this teacup-sized dog and dropped it in and was saying, go play, go play, go play. And my dogs said, Kona said to Chica, Chica, did you see that? I think it's a cat. Let's go. And those two big labs went at that dog like torpedoes. He's just a little dog. I think he was probably, you know, less than a foot long. That thing was squealing. Like a little pig that was being killed. Squealing, squealing, and Kona and Chica were looking down at with their black hulking silky bodies going in circles. And it was pretty horrific. You know, it sounded like the dog was getting killed. My dogs were just saying, run, run so we can chase you. But I couldn't tell. And the owner of that precious little dog that he brought and put into the big box, he couldn't tell either. He was bigger than me. This guy was a truck driver or something. And, you know, anyway, so I called my dogs. And this is all I practice all the time, calling those dogs. When you've got two labs, you better learn how to control them, I'll tell you. And so I could get them to back up and sit behind me and under great work. But I could do that, and I did it. And they came back and circled around and parked behind me like two bookends. And he went in and grabbed his little dog, and he checked it out and turned it. And he was sweating, and he was just so upset. He thought the dog was being killed. And he came up to me clutching his dog. And I say, he's probably over 6 feet, 6'2", 3'4". And he came up to me huffing. And he leaned into me like this. He was inches from my nose. And he says, your dogs are out of control. And they're going to kill my dog. And he really got on me to try to somehow relieve the anger that he just almost lost his dog. His precious little dog was almost killed. And so he was full of ego and anger, and he was putting his finger out, and he was blaming me for not controlling my dogs. But you know, this Course in Miracles stuff, I'll tell you, it's like momentum. Peace for me, it's just like being addicted to anything else. I now prefer peace in my core so much that I just, even if something horrible like this happens where the guy was inches from me, he could have just elbowed me right onto my back. No problem. And he had this energy was coming off him like, you Duncan. But you know, I understood him though. He thought he'd about to lose his dog. And I say, I understand this is really upsetting. I hope my dogs are never threatened like that, like your dog was threatened. I tried to see it from his perspective. And boy, as I just talked him through it, he started to calm down. And I said, there is a safe place in this park for smaller dogs. It's over there. I'm sure glad your dog is not hurt. But I stayed in peace the whole way through. I didn't defend myself because that would be an attack on him. Didn't do that. I just stayed peaceful, and I let him show me what he needed to. And then I sent him understanding. You know what? The whole thing just escalated. It just, energy came down. He took a step back and he said a few more words and off he went. But you know what? Peace works. Choosing peace works. And I handled it better than if I tried to elbow him or to dress him down. It worked a lot better for me. And I didn't get bruised. He could have easily knocked me over if he was that kind of person. But I just didn't give him that dance of attack and defense. And I that's like I say, peace is really a habit for me. It's really a habit for me. But man, I believe it even more after situations like that. And I will choose peace now as a default. And that's because of Course in Miracles. Yeah. You bet. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let's dig into some more of this. Yeah.
Andrew, can I just ask a question?
Sure.
So, you know, when I read that paragraph, you know, that one sentence, I said, I hate this. Because you know, the thoughts you hold are mighty and illusions are as strong as in their effects as is the truth. I hate that because I have thoughts that I know are depressing me, and there's a trajectory of, you know, illness and death in my imagination. And then I loved the last couple sentences. It says, nor can he be swayed by questioning his thoughts' effects, because I've done that. Then it says, it is but when the source of those thoughts, is raised to question, that the hope of freedom comes to him at last.
Was the source of the thoughts fear and dread and worry of something that hasn't happened? Is that the source? Or is the source loving expansion of creation? If it's this loving expansion of creation, keep it. And I got a news for you, Don, and everybody else. Your ugly thoughts do not stop. They get weaker and weaker and weaker. But as long as you're in a body, it comes with the body, it comes with time and space, and it comes with the memory in your brain. As holy as you want to be, you're going to remember what it's like to be defensive or to be angry. And the Course discusses this in particular, and it says, you know what? If you did forget what it's like to be angry, you would not be able to help somebody else who is angry unnecessarily.
True.
It will not happen. If you learn not to feed it, it gets weaker and weaker until it's just academic, which is, I hope everybody gets to that level. And Don, I want you, hold on, Ross. Yes, you're next. Don, everybody, hold your finger here. I hope to get back here. But just for Don and what he just said, which is, Andrew, I have these negative thoughts and they keep popping up. And I think about they're ugly. Go to page 311 right now, paragraph 9.
In the text?
In the text. 311, paragraph 9. And I got your mute, Tim. Would you read that to Don?
Sure. Give me just one more moment to get the page up. Paragraph what?
Paragraph 9, bottom of the page.
Thank you. Okay. The necessary condition for the holy instant does not require that you have no thoughts that are not pure.
Like all that stinking thinking, Don, that keeps popping up. You're not required to not have those thoughts. Oh, thank God, right? Because it was getting kind of hard not to have those. Okay, go ahead, Tim.
Innocence is not of your making. It is given you the instant.
Whoa. You managed to skip the most important sentence maybe in this whole section. Okay. Start over. Read the whole paragraph. Read the whole paragraph over.
The necessary condition for the holy instant does not require that you have no thoughts that are not pure, but it does require that you have none that you would keep.
Oh!
Better
Thank
that
you, Jesus. Thank yeah. you, Jesus, who understands what it's like to have a human brain that seems to be in control. Seems your mind is actually in control, but your brain, you have given your brain the ability to be addicted to a pattern of thinking, and some of it's ugly. Well, according to this, yeah, I know it. That's no reason to stop. That will not block you from the holy instant because you have unholy thoughts. However, but when the book says but, also when the ego says but, when anybody says but, they're talking to you and they say, but, you know, Ross, it's really nice that you joined our meeting tonight, but I'm about to tell Ross something that I tried to sugarcoat, soften with, it was really nice you joined our meeting tonight, but here it comes, right? You're like, oh, everybody, tension goes up. What's the problem with what? Whatever follows but in this book or in the world, that's the real message. The holy instant does require that you would have no ugly thoughts that you would keep. Now we put the responsibility for sight right back on you, baby. You can have those ugly thoughts. They're meaningless. They don't actually mean anything. But the holy instant requires that you just choose not to keep them, that you don't value them. And that, Don, only you can do. Only you can do, because they're your little babies. They're your pets. Barbara?
And Don, I have used this with my own ugly thoughts. I just say, I don't want to keep this. I am willing to not keep this thought.
Had a girl.
You know, with those recurring things. So yeah. I have this underlined and highlighted, and it is one of those that really works in a difficult situation.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah. I would like to ask a question. When I read this one sentence, what I get is, I'm going to remember something for the rest of my life, maybe, probably, if it's either wonderful or it's awful, but I don't have to think of it as being affecting me anymore.
Got a girl. Excellent, Luann. Take that to the bank. That's right. You will remember it for the rest of your life.
Say it again.
Luann? I take this line as saying, I mean, when you put them together, when you put the two lines together, one is you don't have to try to get rid of the thoughts. And then the other one is, but you don't have to keep them either. I take that as no matter how awful or wonderful, I might remember them, but I don't have to let them affect me. In other words, I'm working towards, when I think of my ex-husband, for instance, I'm working towards thinking of him as a man who was living his life the way he was living his life. And he's changed a lot since then, and he's doing better. But I remember what I went through and some of the things he did that I didn't like at the time.
And the only way that those could affect you, if you gave them meaning, right, all the meaning that they have for you, in fact, you'd have to give them. You can also give them another meaning. And then that's what you'll have. And make no mistake, this is your superpower that the ego's trying to hide from you, and I'm trying to bring up tonight. Good, good, good. Timothy, just to speed up a little bit, would you read for us in that same paragraph, just sentence us 7, 8, and 9, or 7, just 7 and 8.
What you would hide is hidden from you. In your practice, then, try only to be vigilant against deception and seek not to protect the thoughts you would keep to yourself.
Do not protect the thoughts that you think you'll just hold dear, because those are the ones that you're banking on. Open everything to the Holy Spirit. Look at the source. Look at the source. Step back. Look at the source. And it only has one of two possible sources, love or fear. Loving thought, keep it. Fearful thought, let it go. It doesn't mean anything. You don't want it anyway. It's just a habit of mind. Okay, we have just about 3 minutes to not make it through the next paragraph. So let's try anyway. Okay.
What page are you talking about?
Oh yeah. Go back to page 242 in the workbook, lesson 132. This is so powerful. It's a shame not to see more of this lesson. I'm trying not to say anything and just have us read a paragraph or two before we go. And so, Jason, do you have a book you want to read? I got your mute. You want to read, Jason?
I didn't bring a book with me. I'm traveling.
Okay, no problem. I'm going to put you back on mute. Okay. And then person on the telephone, would you like to read? I got your mute. Oh, no, you have to mute yourself. I muted you. Oh, there you go. Good.
Yes, and which paragraph?
Great. Would you go to paragraph 2 on workbook page 242?
Okay.
That sounds like Deborah to me.
By the way. Yeah,
huh?
It is.
Yeah, good.
It is.
Good.
Yet is salvation easily achieved, for anyone is free to change his mind, and all his thoughts change with it. Now the source of thought has shifted, for to change your mind means you have changed the source of all ideas you think or even thought or yet will think.
The whole past, present, and future are affected. Did I tell you it's a power, or did I manage to get out that it's a superpower? It's a superpower. You can affect your past since you made that up too. And you're making it up right now, whatever it means to you. This power of choice is a superpower. Deborah, please continue.
You free the past from what you thought before. You free the future from all ancient thoughts of seeking what you do not want to find.
That's your superpower, and then that's the life you will live. Try it, you'll like it. If it doesn't work, your misery will be quickly refunded. Okay, let's go. Let's go for it. If anybody has to go, you can just leave. I just want to have us read a few paragraphs. Don, go ahead.
Well, this is really important to me, and it wasn't clarified the first time I brought it up. It is but when their source is raised to question. And what I read, and then again, it's the source. It says now the source of thought has shifted. So what I'm hearing is the source, in a way, should be capital S. But I don't want to presume that. I want to know what's true.
Yes, but in that sentence, you're right. When it shifts, it goes to a capital. But in this case,
in neither case is it capitalized.
Right.
I think it should be capitalized in both cases.
Well, no, it's a literary source. It's like a pipe. The pipe that you choose, you get hot water or cold water. The pipe is nothing. Okay, that's how it's used in that particular sentence. It's not referencing the Holy Spirit. It's referencing a possible source. You see, the source, the pipe is neutral. Okay, so the source, and then you have to be willing to look and choose a different source to come into your dream, the way you interpret your dream. So we get right back down to lowercase letters very quickly.
I'm sorry, I just am not understanding the
pipe. Okay, well, you can capitalize the one you think is appropriate because you got the message right. It's just fine. It's just fine. Okay, let's rock another one. Okay, Jacqueline, are you ready for us? Can you read for us paragraph 3? I got your mute.
Okay. Paragraph 3?
Yes, please.
The present now remains the only time.
Wow, what a gift. That sounds like enlightenment. Please continue.
Here in the present is the world set free. For as you let the past be lifted and release the future from your ancient fears, you find escape and give it to the world. You have enslaved the world with all your fears, your doubts and miseries, your pain and tears, and all your sorrows. Press on it and keep the world a prisoner to your beliefs. Death strikes it everywhere because you hold the bitter thoughts of death within your mind.
Doesn't that explain in black and white, reminding you of what it's like to continue to have miserable thoughts and be judgmental and be worried and to think that somebody else has power over your happiness? This is pointing it out. Okay, Barbara, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4? Here it comes, folks. Tighten your seatbelt.
The world is nothing in itself. Your mind must give it meaning, and what you behold upon it are your wishes acted out so you can look on them and think them real.
That's what happened. That's what this world is. Jesus, the right mind, the awakened mind, is looking back on the dream maker and the dreamer and the dream that he's having. This is the Holy Spirit's function, is to bridge these two. And he's telling you in that sentence, this is what you're doing. In case you wondered, I'll just tell you. There it is, Jesus says. Your mind gives everything the meaning, and what you behold upon this world, they're your wishes, not creations, and not will. Not will. You can't will an illusion. You just wish it, and you try to behold it in your mind. You dream it for a while. They're acted out. Why? Why are they acted out? So that you can look on them and think them real for a while. That's harmless. It's harmless. That's why the Course says there is no sin. Isn't that great? Please continue.
Perhaps you think you did not make the world, but came unwillingly to what was made already, hardly waiting for your thoughts to give it meaning. Yet in truth, you found exactly what you looked for when you came.
That's why people tell me this is a hard lesson, because it's actually going quite upstairs. This is quite going up to your responsibility as the dreamer of the dream instead of a figure in the dream. It's really reaching spiritually. It's kind of a high lesson. Okay, so then he hits the same hammer, same nail a few times. And so we've got to just read a few more sentences, though. Let's have Luann, would you read for us the next paragraph?
The world is nothing in itself. Your mind must...
You got to go to five.
Oh, five.
Actually, skip five in interest of time, even though it's a great paragraph. Go to six.
But it is pride that argues you have come into a world quite separate from yourself, impervious to what you think, and quite apart from what you chance you think it is. There is no world.
There is no world! Exclamation point, end of sentence, end of message, end of teaching. Whoa! But can you take that? Can you use that? Let's see. Go ahead.
This is the central thought the Course attempts to teach. Not everyone is ready to accept it, and each one must go as far as he can, let himself be led along the road to truth. He will return and go still farther, or perhaps set back a while and then return again.
And that's the way a spiritual path often goes. You take as much as you can until you just, you know, object, or you're not willing to take the next step, or you forget or get distracted, then you come back and say, I want more peace than even I have now, and I know I can.
Can I ask you a question I've been wondering? It's a theoretical, maybe metaphysical question.
Sure.
That is my world, is, and when I say my world, I mean the physical world, not what I'm thinking or believing or any of that, but is my world the same as your world, the physical world, or have I made up everything? And you, what you've made up is everything. We're meeting here either because whatever. But it's just a different world altogether for you in terms of physical and everything else than it is for me.
Okay. First thing, if it's possible for you to have a world and me to have a world and to look at it, that's separation. So ultimately, there's only one. There is, in this illusion of being, you know, time and space and bodies, there's an illusion of different perspectives that are sharing the same world, but from a different perspective.
Okay.
There's one world, there's one dream, there's one ego, there's one Holy Spirit, there's one mind. Its goal is to make it appear as many. So it's yes. So
when I look at something like, for instance, a divorce,
yep,
and somebody else has a divorce, and I think of my divorce as different than they think of your divorce, that's just the way we're thinking. That's not that we're not both having a divorce. But it's the same physical world.
Yeah, the meaning is individuated. Mm-hmm. The meaning you give it, and the fear, by the way, is one of your ways of having a personal experience separate from everybody else. Love is not. Love is not a way. Love is a true loving thought, is the opposite of fear, and it is not an individuated experience.
Oh, okay.
It is love has everything in common with every other loving thought. Fear has nothing in common with every other fearful thought, because it's you who would lose. The private, precious you.
We have fears about, we have different fears about things because we use them differently or we, whatever. But when we love, the whole mind is receiving it. The whole mind is with it.
All fears are of loss and loss to you personally.
Yeah, okay.
All true love, not special love. Watch the words. Don't go slipping back into the ego here. All true love with a capital L is joining and gain and sharing equally in every direction. Okay. It's really the opposite. Let me give you one little analogy before we go. One way to look at your actual existence. Your actual existence as you are manifested. This is a little outside of what Course teaches, okay? But we're after the hour, so I think I'm permitted. This occurred to me in a meditation when I was working some of this material, trying to put it together like Luann is. And boy, I'll tell you. All right, here we go. You are like a facet on a gem. So imagine a big diamond. Do you ever really looked at a diamond? You ever realize how it is that a diamond emanates so much light and twinkles and sparkles? And it's, you know, the trick is that the way a diamond works so well is that every single facet on that diamond, it has a slightly different angle than every other facet on the diamond. And if you were one of those facets on the diamond, as an ego, you're looking out away from the diamond. And all you see is what you see. That's your world that Luann's describing. You see, and I may be the facet right next to Luann, and I can see most of what kind of what she sees, but it's slightly different. I'm a little shifted in my facet next to hers on this big diamond. If I were to simply turn around 180 degrees, now I'm looking into the diamond. Do you realize? From that, my vantage point, I can see every other facet, all of them. All of them. That's the secret of a diamond. The way that every one facet can take in light from every other facet, every other angle. You see what I'm saying? A window pane's flat, takes in the light coming at it and some obliquely. A diamond fully takes in light and bends it toward every other facet in the diamond. That's the beauty of a well-cut diamond. Every facet is not duplicating another facet. However, it is sharing equally the light of every other facet. If you looked inward, if you looked exact opposite of what you're doing as an ego, you would look inward like looking in the diamond, and you will see everything. You will see the whole diamond. At any time, you can look back outward and try to ignore the rest of spirit, the rest of heaven and holiness, and just look back at your individual opinion on what you can see. I know it's a vision that really helped me. And it helped me also know what I'm doing when I look inward and I join with what everybody else has in common with me. The same diamond.
Beautiful.
Okay, everybody. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
See you next week.
I'll see you next week. And have a great night.
You too.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Good night, Don. Thanks for the great questions, man. Keep them coming. That's awesome.
Thank you, Andrew. Bye, everybody.
Good. Bye.